Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Beautiful. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read initially Romans chapter 12, because that's kind of our foundational verse for this whole series, but then we're going to get into some other stuff. So we'll get there in just a moment. We're currently in a series called I Changed My Mind. I changed my mind. And how many know that there are times in life that you can think away, you can believe away, and you come up against something that shows you something in a new light or shows you something in a clearer way, and you realize that I was wrong and you need to change your mind about the way you approach something or change your mind about the way you deal with something. How many know that happens in life? I'm just saying, if you are someone who never is wrong, Lord, you're gonna have a lonely life. All right, I'm gonna throw that out there. Lonely, sad. All of us make mistakes, and all of us have to have opportunities to change our mind. And last time we were together, we talked about I need to change my mind about worry and anxiety. And we talked about where it comes from. It's an orphan spirit in our lives. We fear abandonment. We fear being abandoned in a situation and in something. And we feel like we kind of have to be our own answer and our own strength and our own wisdom and all this stuff. And yet there is God who is our Father who was for us, and He's a great dad. Amen? He's a good Father and He is for us. And so we can change our mind. We can change the way we think about worry and anxiety and fear. And if you were not able to be here last Sunday, I really want to encourage you, go to our website. You can click on the video. We have First AG TV, the live stream. You can actually watch last week's service. It is recorded by video and on there. You can also podcast it, have it sent to your iPods and various things. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it, because I think it is a very foundational message for what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. All right? So go back and to do that. But this week, we're going to be talking about, I changed my mind about my attitude. Anybody ever have an attitude? No? What do you mean by that? No, I'm just kidding. Kind of an attitude. So anyway, here we go. So we're going to start off reading Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's our core verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, you're good. We need you. Speak to us today, God, as only you can. And do in our hearts and minds what only you can do. But Father, I know that you can only do it when we allow you. And so Jesus, today, may you not just stand at a door and knock, but may doors be opened. May lives be open to receive today your word, your spirit, your presence, and change us. Make us like you, God, I ask in your name. Amen. Amen. See, I don't have to be conformed to this world. I don't have to think like it. I don't have to act like it. I don't have to respond like this world responds. I can be changed. I can be transformed. I can think differently. And Scripture says that I can know God's will for my life. That's a great thing. That's a powerful thing. You see, God doesn't want His will to be a mystery to us. And as I live my life for Him and I become more like Him, I can discover His will and I can walk it out in victory. So this morning we're going to be talking about, I changed my mind about my attitude. Now, how many of you know that attitude is a big thing? I got one of you. That's awesome. Attitude is a major factor on how we respond to the circumstances of our life. How many know that when God wants to do something, how many have something God wants to do? You're just saying, God, hey, God, I want you to deal with this in me, help me with it. Here's the thing. When God wants to do something in your life, your attitude determines the amount, your attitude determines the openness that God has to transform your life. God wants the best for you, amen? But you know what? Sometimes God's ways are different than our ways, and we say, God, I want things to be different, but I want them to be different like this. This is how I want it. God says, well, that's not the best. We go, well, this is what I want. Your attitude determines or opens the door for God's transforming work to have its full effect in our life. Now, have you ever, you know, folks who ride the metro, or maybe you go to work early in the morning. There are morning people, and then there are other people. All right, I kind of wake up in the morning, and I'm up. You know, when my eyes are open, that's it. I'm awake. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to engage. I'm ready to find out what the plan for the day is. My wife is not a morning person, and I learned that very early in our marriage. And it was subtle hints. I think like the morning that I woke up and I was just talking a mile a minute, and I look and she's just staring at me and she says, "If you talk to me like this tomorrow, I will kill you." I'm a little slow, but I pick it up. I pick it up. It's not, so have you ever run into someone and you're kind of around them and you talk and you can just tell by their tone, you can tell by their attitude, and you ever had this thought, well, somebody got out of the wrong side of the bed today. That's attitude. That's attitude. That's what an attitude is. And the thing is that situations and circumstance and the events of the day create attitudes that become a contributor or an inhibitor of the transforming power or work of God in your life. God wants to do something. God wants to change you. God wants to fill you. God wants to strengthen you. But there are situations and circumstances and events that happen in our life that either help that happen or they keep that from happening because they form attitudes inside of us that work for us or they work against us. Now, what do I mean by an attitude? An attitude is this. An attitude is an outward reflection of our internal emotions. All right? An attitude is an expression of something that's here coming out, maybe by word, maybe by deed, maybe by body language or facial expression or whatever it may be. So if we are dealing with anger or frustration or indifference or disrespect or disappointment or cynicism, anything that has a negative impact on our life, if that is what is inside of us, those negative emotions that churn in our life work their way out of us in our attitude, and you can sometimes see that in people's body language. You ever tried to talk to someone who had a bad attitude? You see it all over them. You just realize I'm wasting my time. I'm wasted. They're not listening. They're not hearing a word. They're nodding their head and they're saying yes, but they are not here. That's when you drop kick them. That'll bring them right back to the moment. Don't do that. George is thinking, really? I can do that? You could do that, George. But see, on the other side, here's a positive thing, that if you have peace or satisfaction, if you feel fulfilled, or there's excitement or joy or thankfulness, those positive emotions work their way out of our lives through our attitudes as well. So whatever's in us has a way of coming out of us. Now, like most men, I was kind of taught, I don't think anyone's ever officially taught, but we just kind of do it by osmosis. Men are not usually fans of emotions. We don't handle emotions well. I've said long before, women are much better at handling emotions. Women are kind of like Mercedes and men are kind of like Jeeps. You know, y'all are meant to be taken care of, and you've got all these gadgets and wires, and men just need to start and go. That's all we need. And so, you know, there's this thing that as a young man growing up, I don't know if I was taught or you just learn as you go, but you kind of repress your emotions. I mean, any men know what I'm talking about? It's just you don't sit around and cry because there's a sad story. Yeah, I mean, you do what you need to do. And so that's the kind of the way we grew up. It didn't matter how I felt about stuff. You know, if the grass needs mowing, the grass needs mowing. It doesn't matter if you feel like mowing the grass. It needs mowing, so get out and mow the grass. And that's kind of the way we grew. One of my favorite phrases in life is, it is what it is. Because I think sometimes, is it the way I want it to be? No. Well, what is it? It is what it is. And as soon as I accept what it is, then we can engage in it and we can better it or change it or make it what it needs to be. And so over 22 years of marriage, my wife has tried to help me become more in tune with my feelings and my emotions. And, you know, I'm like probably one session away from wearing pink, all right? So y'all pray for me. And she'll say something will happen or a life event will happen. And she'll say something like, how does that make you feel? Oh, gosh. You know, and I just said, I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, it is what it is. The question to me isn't how do you feel? The question to me is what do we need to do? How do we respond to this? How do we engage in this? And so over the years, she's learned to ask me in different ways, and I have developed different responses. So she would ask, and I would go deep as I can go into that emotional tank, and I would tell her the way that I think I should feel. Now, guys, I'm not going to ask you to respond because I don't want to get any man in trouble here. So, ladies, I am just talking about me, and I'm the only one who does this. I would try to think, all right, how should I feel about this event or this moment or this situation? How should I feel? And let me respond like that, because that makes sense and that's the right thing to do and that's the way I'm going to engage. And so I would respond, and she would just look and be like, yeah, I'm not buying that. So she would then come and she would ask, how do you feel about something? And then I would think, okay, that game plan didn't work. So I would say, how does she want me to feel about this situation? And so, you know, you're driving home from church, and I'm like, yeah, I cannot believe she wore the same dress as you. I'm so offended. You know, and no, I wouldn't do that. And so she would look, and she'd go, Wes, how do you feel? She wouldn't buy that either. It just wouldn't go deep. And then she said, you're okay. I was like, Steph, I'm fine. She says, well, you need to tell your face you're okay, because your face isn't saying the same thing that your words are saying. Listen, you cannot hide what's going on in your emotions. They will come out. They come out through the attitudes of our life, and what our attitude is going to come out in our words. It's going to come out in our actions. Our attitudes reflect the emotions, and our face displays the results. You cannot overestimate the impact that attitude has in your daily life as it results to joy and happiness, success, and to every area of your life. And we're impacted by attitudes all the time. How do you know businesses have attitudes? You ever gone to a place that they treat you like they could care less that you're there? Unless you owe them money. Then they're your friend. Hey, we wanted to talk. And I'm not picking on any kind of fast food. How many know that Chick-fil-A just functions at a different level than most fast food joints? Have you ever noticed? It's a whole different environment. It's a whole different attitude. I mean, when they say thank you, I really feel thanked. I'm like, here, have more, you know? I mean, it's a wonderful experience. You go to some place, you know you're not going to get your order right. Dad, I want this. Guys, we're just ordering food, and it's like a gamble. It's like playing the lottery, you know? But you go to Chick-fil-A, your order's going to be right. They're going to look you in the eye. They're going to tell you something, and it's a different experience. Businesses have attitudes. How many know churches have attitudes? You ever been in a church and sat in somebody else's seat? You'll get the ad. Years ago, I worked in Hagerstown, Maryland at Bethel Assembly of God, and I'll never forget one morning we had a guest that had come, and I had to realize, hey, I didn't recognize these folks. I was going to say hello, and so they were sitting in one pew, and I walked in the pew in front of them, and I kind of was sitting on it talking to them. Hey, it's so good to have you. Where are you from? How'd you find us? And one of our sweet little old ladies had came up, and she just came up, and I'm talking, and she stands literally right here. I mean, like, close enough she's breathing my air, all right? And she's standing there, and I'm talking, and I kind of say, hey, good morning. And no, good morning. You're in my seat. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your name here. She says, I'll bring a pen next week. Churches can have attitudes. Not only can churches have attitudes, how many know that individuals can have attitudes? You ever seen somebody, they're just determined to be upset? You know, it's just they have a bad attitude. Cities have attitudes. All of these things. Maybe you've got a friend who's going through something, or maybe you're here this morning, and you know what? You're trying to see where I'm going to end up with this, and you're looking at your own life, and you're kind of saying, you know what? I kind of have a bad attitude sometimes. There's something that's always making me upset. I'm mad all the time. I'm critical about things. Even when something good happens, I find something wrong with it. I'm not a joyful person. I kind of have a bad attitude maybe in my life. But certainly if it's not you, you know someone like that. It's kind of like that old saying where one out of four people are crazy. So if you have three friends and they all seem normal, it's you. Listen, have you ever thought that the motive or the thing that drives that bad attitude may simply be an emotion that you're not paying attention to? It is something inside of you that is stirring and that is churning and that is making its way out of your life through attitude that you've not really acknowledged yet. Something is going on the inside, and it is being reflected on the outside, okay? Now, the portion of scripture we're going to start with in Luke 9 is an encounter between Jesus, James, and John. Now, I'm going to read it, then we'll kind of break it down. It says this, verses 51 to 56. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him. They went, and they entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. Now, I want to remind you who the Samaritans were. They were a group who claimed to be part of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, but the Jews, the true Jews, did not acknowledge them or recognize them. They kind of said they were latecomers to the party. They kind of came in later. They didn't live according to the Jewish law. They didn't function according to the Jewish law. They were very secular in the way they thought, and so there was always this great deal of tension between Jews and the Samaritans. To the point of, in other stories in Scripture, where people would not go through Samaria to get to where they were going. They would go around it. That's how much they didn't like each other. Not going to go in your town, you stay out of my town, that kind of thing. All right, that's what's going on. It says they did not receive him because he was traveling to Jerusalem. All right, you got to understand that. When the disciples, James and John, saw that, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Those are good guys to have around. But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. Verse 53 says, they did not receive him. You know what? They had an attitude. Samaria understood, hey, you know what? He's not even coming here to stay. He's going, but because he's going to Jerusalem, we want nothing to do with you. We want nothing to do with this. And so we're not going to receive you here. You can go find somewhere else. Says, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they developed an attitude. "God, do you want us to call fire down from heaven on them?" That's an attitude, folks. Jesus turns and rebukes them. What did he rebuke them for? Their attitudes. He says, "You don't know what kind of spirit, what kind of attitude you're of, guys. I came to save people, not kill people. I came to love them, not judge them." You see, our attitude reflects our emotions, and our face displays them. Proverbs 27:19, "As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man." So I've got two quick questions for you. One is, am I approaching life with a worldly attitude or a godly attitude? Do you approach life every day with a worldly attitude or with a godly attitude? Second question is this: is my attitude being conformed to the emotions of the circumstances or the people around me, or is it being transformed by God's word? Meaning, who's leading you? Are people leading you, or is God's word leading you? John Maxwell, in his book, he wrote one called The Winning Attitude, says this: it is the advanced man of our true selves. Speaking of your attitude. It's the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is the thing that draws people to us or repels them from us. It is never content until it is expressed. I love this. It is the librarian of our past. It is the speaker of our present. It is the prophet of our future. Talking about your attitude. You see, our attitudes determine our success and happiness in life more than giftedness, more than opportunities, more than circumstances. Our attitude affects everything about our life. And so I'm going to give you three things real quickly about attitude that we can choose and we can be a part of. Number one is simply this: attitude is our choice. Attitude is our choice. You today can make a choice. Make a decision to not allow circumstances to define the internal issues of your life, but you can let your life be motivated by something greater. Listen, every single one of us has the ability to choose the right attitude in any circumstance. It got quiet in here. You have the ability to choose the right attitude in any situation, in any circumstance, at any time. Because attitude is your choice. So let me ask you a question. Who or what is influencing your attitude? See, you have a choice. You can choose an attitude that is different than the people around you, that is different than the circumstances that you're experiencing. Who or what is determining your attitude? Who is influencing you? What are the situations influencing you to do? Because ultimately, you have the choice. Proverbs 3, 31 and 32. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. What Proverbs is talking about is this. If you hang around and you choose the ways of those who are violent or envious or all of those things, it can become contagious and you could end up with the same attitude as they do. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. He said when you hang around things that are contrary to who God is desiring you to be, when you hang around people and think, and they're trying to get you to do what they're doing, get you to think what they're thinking. We talked about this several weeks ago, and I said bad company is not someone who does bad things. All of us do bad things. We deceive ourselves. And the Pharisees stood outside the house of Jesus and I believe Matthew and said, oh, look at them. They're this, they're that. And it's crazy. Bad people are people who try to get you to do bad things. Because all of us do bad things ourselves. Amen? Y'all realize that? See, we can choose to change our attitude. Now, you may have to deal with some internal emotions, things that you've denied or repressed or simply been unwilling to deal with or look at, but it's worth it because ultimately in life, we are called to be witnesses. We're called to be people who reflect God. So if we want to reflect God and we want God to come out of our life, we have to do so by having the right attitude because that is the way in which we reflect Him. We have to allow our emotions and the internal issues of our life to be transformed and not conformed to this world. Your attitude is your choice. Number two is this: attitudes have consequences. Attitudes have consequences. God responds to our attitude. He rewards good ones and He disciplines bad ones. Hebrews 12:7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now this is a logical progression. You know, we love our kids, right? Because you love your kids, you discipline your children. Right? Because we love them and we discipline them when they get out of line. Well, here's the thing. So does God. God loves you. God cares about you. And when you start thinking a way that's contrary to the good and the right and the godly in your life, God will discipline you to try to bring you back in. The other day I was giving Ashton, he was in the shower. We were talking about obedience. And because I told him, hey, bud, let's go to the shower. And he just kind of had this, I don't even know. It was like a meltdown. It was like something nuclear went off in his belly. And I said, hey, bud, we got to go get in the shower. And he just goes, whoop! And he just went right over and he's laying on the floor. And I'm, you know, part of me is kind of impressed. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't know you were that flexible. And so finally he kind of gets over it. And I just kind of wait till he's finished. And I'm like, okay, you ready for your shower now? Okay. And you can walk or I can carry you, but you're getting in water. And he's up, he's in the water. And I said, Ashton, do you know that God wants you to obey Him? He's, yes. And do you know how God teaches you to hear Him and obey Him? How? Because God gives you parents. And as a young man, when you learn how to hear and obey your mom and dad, that's preparing you and that's teaching you to hear and obey God. And I can tell you, at 42 years old, my parents disciplined me. Not recently. All right, 42 years old. Listen, if I get out of line, and I'm a grown man, four kids, beautiful family, love my life, but God loves me enough that if I get out of line in the way I think or the way I act, God deals with it. Because as a father, He loves me. And He wants to move me back into a right way of thinking. He wants to move me back into the way I ought to be and the way that I ought to live. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful in the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Listen, and we know this as parents. We know that attitudes are everything. Listen to me. If you deal with an attitude in your child, you are less likely to have to deal with a behavior later. Every behavior starts as an attitude. It is true. It is true. Everything flows from the heart. So when you discipline a child, you're not just trying to change behavior. That's the whole thing. Ashton, you're going to get in the shower. You can flop and plop and whatever. It's not an issue. How many know it's bigger than just the shower? You don't want to just change the behavior of someone. You want to change the heart. Because when you change the heart, you've changed the whole future of things. And so you're teaching them. And I the next day, but hey, how do we learn how to love God? By obeying our mom and dad. How many know I've asked them that every day since? Any behavior you deal with started as an attitude. Because attitudes are the seedbed of our behavior. Our attitudes show through our action. And the things that you don't deal with as an attitude in your children or in your spouse or even in your own life, you're going to deal with as an action at one point or another. I promise you that. I promise you that. And if there are any internal issues or emotions that God wants to help you deal with them, so those attitudes don't become actions that cost you, because attitudes have consequences. Attitudes always come out, and they always have a price that's tied to them. James 4, verses 6 and 10, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. How many of those are attitudes? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. How many know that's an attitude? Nothing that you do will make God stop loving you, but he will relate to you based on your attitude. He will discipline a bad attitude until you get it right, because a bad attitude opens the door for the devil's influence. You say, Pastor West, well, what do you mean by that? I'll show you in Scripture exactly what I mean by that. Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Both brought offerings to God. Abel's was accepted, Cain's wasn't. Listen to it, verse 5 through 7. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, so Cain was very angry and his face fell. Remember? Face reflects what's going on inside. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will that not be accepted? And if you do not do well, listen to this, sin is crouching at the door and it desires for you, but you must rule over it. Cain, you got to lose the attitude. Because if you don't control your attitude, if you don't realize your attitude is your choice, you're going to make a decision that has consequences on your life that you're not big enough yet to understand and grasp. It is hiding there, but you better rule over your attitude, because your attitude is going to become an action. You can choose your attitudes. You can rule over them. Bad attitude brings God's loving discipline. Good attitude brings God's purposes to light. Years and years ago, once when I was in high school, I took a flight class. I don't know how my school ended up having this. I have no clue. But it beat other stuff. And so I took a flight class, and they taught us how to fly a plane and to map out if we wanted to fly somewhere, how much gas you would need and the winds, you get all the stuff. I would not trust me to do that now. Let me be very clear. I'm barely able to drive. And so for my class, we did all this thing the whole semester. And then on the last day, we left a Friday morning and we flew from Farmville, Virginia, where I grew up, to I think Boston or something, had a cup of clam chowder for lunch, and then flew back. That's pretty cool. One of the things that we had learned was he taught us about an instrument that's usually in the center of the dashboard. It's called an attitude indicator. And it's just when you are in the plane and you are flying, next time you fly commercially, try to make your way into the cockpit. Oh, hey, tell him God wants you to. It'll be okay. Don't do that. Don't do that. That would be bad. But right in the center of the dashboard is this, it's like this bubble, and it has kind of like a horizon line on it. And you can tell how your plane is doing height-wise by watching this attitude indicator. Because when the nose of the plane is above the line, you're climbing. When you hit cruising speed, you level it out. And you maintain a height. And when it's lower than that, you're descending to land or crash or whatever. All right? It's there. Just like a pilot with a plane, we need to monitor our attitudes. Because when your attitude is up, how many know you're going to climb out of whatever situation you're in? When you get the right attitude and you get the right spirit and you get the right mindset and you come to the place and you're not being driven by your emotions or your circumstances or the people who have your ear, but you're taking all of that stuff and you're saying, God, I want you to transform the way that I think. I don't want to think like the world. I want to think like you. And in every situation, God, I want a godly attitude, because I'm telling you, that keeps you in line, your nose above the line, and you can climb out of any situation or circumstance that you are in, because that's a promise of God. You got to guard your attitude that when you hit the place where God wants you to be, you level out and you flow in his blessing and favor. And how many of you today want the favor of God in your life? You've got to look and see when your nose is below the line and you need to know, hey, something's off. I'm either going to crash or I'm going to have a bad landing if I don't get my attitude straight and my attitude worked out. See, God is at work in our attitudes to keep the direction of our life good. We have to stay anchored in our attitudes, what God is saying. Do we have godly attitudes, and are we looking for him to direct the issues of our life, or are we being influenced by our feelings or our friends or our circumstances and allowing those things to determine our attitude? Attitude is more important than aptitude in being successful in life. I know smart people who are miserable people, because their attitudes aren't right. All of us are going to face difficulties. All of us are going to face challenges in life. But your attitude helps you climb out of the difficulty with God's favor and God's blessing on your life. James 1, verses 2 to 4 say this: Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Listen, if you feel like your life is not going in the right direction, you need to take a look at your attitude, because attitudes have consequences. You choose it, it has a consequence. And number three, attitudes have influence. So what are our attitudes influence? Our attitudes influence our perspective. There are people who seem to have joy no matter what goes on in their life. Have you ever noticed that? There are some people, it doesn't matter what it is, there's a sense of peace and joy in their life, no matter where they are and what's going on. And there are people who are just the opposite. No matter what is going on, how good it may seem or how happy it may make everyone else, they find something to complain about, something to be critical about, or something to say, well, I wish it was this. I heard a quote a couple weeks ago, and it was saying, in essence, this, that people go back to the attitude of their heart. And that if you're someone who's a grumpy person by nature, and you're kind of the unhappy person, you're kind of not thankful, that even say, oh, I just, you know, I hate this, and I think I hate the, you know, I hate peanut butter sandwiches. I'm sick and tired of peanut butter sandwiches. I've had so many peanut butter sandwiches, blah, 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 blah. And so all of a sudden you come in the next day and you got ham sandwiches, and you go, oh, I love ham sandwiches. Because the attitude of your heart is grumpy, how many know that you're going to drift right back down? Something else will make you upset. Something else will make you unhappy, because the attitude of your heart gets there. And if there are people who have joy, and if there are people who have a good attitude in their heart, and you have that success because you're saying, God, you're it, and this is secondary because you're primary, even if something makes you upset or bothers you or hurts you, you know what's going to happen? Your life is going to drift back to the attitude of your heart, because that's what you will always go back to, what your heart says it is. So we need God to change our hearts, don't we? That's the answer. That's the thing. And I'm going to show you what happens. Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, but I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will, or for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Some people choose to be happy and thankful, and as a result, they influence other people to the same perspective, the same thing. Other people choose to be unhappy and miserable and bad attitude. And you know what you do? You influence other people around you to the same perspective. You ever walked into a room of people who are having a great day and you've had a lousy day? You know what happens? Your spirits get lifted. You ever had a great attitude and walk into a room of people who are gossiping and having nonsense conversations? You know what? You walk out, you're like, oh, I don't even feel so good. Your attitude influences people. It's so important. So here's the thing. What are you doing today? Do you know that your attitude here today influences things? Now listen, I read this the other day and I thought it was brilliant. Happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. Listen, attitude influences our circumstances. You know, some of you heard me say, you said, Pastor, in the way, up till now, I'm okay, but that one's off. Attitude influences circumstance. Some of you here today, and you know what you think? You think, if I was in a different circumstance, I'd have a better attitude. Pastor, if you knew how long I've been out of work, you would understand my attitude. Pastor, if you were married to the person I'm married to, you would understand why I have a bad attitude. Here's the thing. If my situation were different, I would have a better attitude. Here's my answer to that. Probably not. Probably not. You choose your attitudes. Adam and Eve were created perfect people in a perfect place. And yet they were ungrateful and rebellious. You can't get much more perfect than the Garden of Eden. Yet they chose an attitude. Psalms 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I didn't put this up on the screen, but Habakkuk, you got to read this. 3, 17 through 19. I'm reading it in the message. And he says, I love. This is an attitude choice here. Listen to this. Though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I am king of the mountain. How many know that's a great attitude? Even in the midst when things aren't going the way you want them to go, even when it's tough, even when it's hard, you can lift your eyes and say, you know what? My hope is in him. My trust is in him. My attitude's not going to be determined by people around me, by the circumstances I face, or the situations that I find myself in, or my emotions that are out of control half the time anyway. My attitude is going to be determined by my Savior, and he's still on the throne, so it's going to be okay. If it's not about you, you having a better situation or circumstance, it's about finding God's perspective in the circumstance that you're in and letting that determine your attitude. Now, in Acts, I'm almost done. Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they've gone into town, and while they were going into town, there was this little girl that began to follow her. Now, she was kind of a moneymaker. There was someone who had owned her. She was a slave, but she had a spirit inside of her that would allow her to tell the future and various things like that, and the people who owned her used her to make quite a bit of money. So Paul and Silas are in town. They're walking through town, and she begins to follow them, and she begins to shout out things. These men are servants of the Most High God. And it kind of got on their nerves, even though they were saying nice stuff, right? So at one point, they turn around and they address the situation. They go, they pray for her, they cast the spirit out of her, they set this girl free. We think that would be good. Well, it was, except the owners now had lost this gift that was making them money. So they went and told the authorities. They had them arrested. Paul and Silas were arrested. They were beaten. They were thrown not just in prison, but in the innermost parts of the prison. You read the story. And they're in this prison, in the innermost parts, and it says that they begin to sing praises and pray to God at midnight. And what happens? An earthquake came. Things begin to shake. The chains came off for just Paul and Silas. The whole thing. Doors opened up that were locked that they didn't have keys to. And they came out of there. Now read the story for the whole thing. I'm just kind of giving you a little nugget. You go back and read it. It'd be a great reading. But listen, can I tell you something? Their attitude changed their circumstances. Their attitude changed their circumstances. Beaten, arrested, thrown into the center part of the prison, I'd say that's a bad day. But they didn't let their circumstance influence their attitude. They made a choice to worship God, even when things didn't look the way they thought they were going to look, or they weren't where they wanted them to be. My attitude is my choice. My attitude has consequences, and my attitude has influence. And they begin to worship and give God praise and pray out to Him and cry out to Him in the midnight. And God heard and God came and God changed their situation because their attitude was godly. Some of you are facing things today that God's waiting for an attitude change. Stop complaining. Start praying. Stop pointing fingers. Start raising hands. Stop setting your chin and saying, I'm not giving up. Bow a knee and be humble and let God lift you up. Your attitude influences your circumstances. You see, the enemy wants you to believe that the lie, that if our circumstances were different, our attitude would change. But the truth is that we can overcome any circumstance set against us by choosing the right attitude, by choosing a godly attitude with our heart and our mind. You can be angry about what you don't have, or you can be thankful for what you got and let God use it and see Him. So change your mind today about your attitude. Amen. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning? I say this every week. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What do you feel like God is saying to you? Maybe not all of it struck home to you. Maybe just a sentence. Maybe something. Maybe in it. Maybe it was during our worship. God spoke to you. Listen, what about today's time together is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? Because we all make a decision with that. We all have to respond to that. You can say, God, I hear what you're saying, and help me to live it. Help me apply it, God. Help me to become that. Or you're going to say, you know what, God, I don't think there was anything, and I'm just going to be there. Or you can deny it. Say, hey, I'm not interested. But all of us make a choice. All of us make a decision with our lives today. We choose our attitudes. Well, I want you to know, you have the power today over your attitude. That the change that you're waiting to see, the change that you're hoping to see, the change that you want to see in your spouse or your kids or your job or your neighborhood or your house or whatever it is, I don't know what it is. You're waiting, you know, for the situation to change, and God is saying, get your attitude right, and then I'll work through your attitude. Humble yourself. Don't be deceived by the enemy and think that your attitude is based in your circumstances. God's a good father. He sees what you wrestle with. He sees what you're dealing with. This morning, take a moment and praise Him over it. This morning, take a moment and pray over it. You might feel that you're locked down in the inner parts of the prison. I mean, you're not just bound by something, but man, it's just, you don't see a lot of hope. God's a big God. The best attitude change starts with committing your life to Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to take just a moment to invite you to do that. Scripture says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. I mean, if you're not perfect, you're in great company here, because none of us are. But it's really just coming to a place in your life that you say, you know what, Jesus, I need help with living and being. I've tried it my own way. I've tried it my own strength, my own wisdom. And you know what? It just doesn't fill me. There's something missing. Well, Jesus is what's missing. And we can ask Him to come and live in our hearts. We could say simply this prayer, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart and be the Savior of my life. The Word of God says that He'll do just that. When you open that door to Him, that He comes in, and I'm telling you, you will see things change. Your attitude can change. Your circumstances can change. Your perspectives can change. Things that you couldn't get through in your own ability, in your own wisdom, all of a sudden, doors open that you don't have keys to because He's got them. And it's about hearing and obeying. Maybe you're here today and you know what? You know Jesus and you love Jesus and you've walked with Jesus, but maybe your attitude's gotten sour and you've kind of got off of the track. You're kind of doing your own thing and you're living your own way. And you know what? You have a godly Father who sits in heaven who loves you, and He loves you so much that He's coming down and He's disciplining you back into a right place. If you found yourself recently saying, you know what, it seems like everything's falling apart. You found yourself saying things like, I don't know why everything seems to be so hard right now. I'm just telling you, sometimes it's not the situation. Sometimes it's not the stuff that's wrong. It's our hearts get a little bit off. And God loves you too much to leave you out there. And so He tries to steer you back to Him. This morning, look beyond situations and circumstances and people in your immediate circle. And would you look your eyes to Him and say, God, give me a godly attitude today so that I can respond in a godly way. Because my attitude has consequences. Because my attitude has influence. Homes are changed by attitude changes. Lives are changed by attitude changes. Maybe this morning you've got some unresolved emotions. You've got anger. You've got hurt. You've got doubt. Mistrust. Greed. Lust. I don't know what it is. There's some unresolved emotions that you need to deal with in your heart. And the best place to start is to ask Him to help. Because He's faithful and just to do that. And then lastly, I just want to say this. Thank Him and praise Him in spite of your difficulties. Pray over them. Worship over them. I'll never forget one time, doing a youth missions trip. We were flown into Houston, and we were taken off from Houston to fly into Guadalajara, Mexico. And in Houston, it was just storming, unbelievable. I mean, just thunder, lightning, rain, cats and dogs. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this flight is going to be, you know, horrible, just horrible. We get on the plane, and he says, we're taking off, and we take off, and that plane just shook like crazy for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the plane popped through the clouds, and we got above the storm. And above the storm, the sun was shining, and the plane just flew, smooth as a bird, and got us into Guadalajara. I'm telling you, the right attitude will lift you out of whatever circumstance you're in. Close your eyes.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.